morning, LifePoint Church. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. I just want to welcome you out to LifePoint to tell you it's going to be a great day. I'm glad you came. Amen. I believe the Lord really has a word of encouragement for you. And man, we came through a revival week.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we're still in revival right now. Okay, amen. So don't worry. And we're just believing for God to do some great things today. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come before you and we humble ourselves right now before you, Lord, and ask you to speak to us and move in this place. Lord, for anyone who needs a touch, God, I pray today would be a special day for them. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Stand to your feet. Let's worship the Lord this morning.
Hallelujah. How many of you know that his mercies are new every day? Amen. The word says so. You woke up this morning, there were new mercies for you and I. Put your hands together. Let's worship the Lord as we stay in that revival mode with fire in our hearts. Amen.
New every morning, your mercy.
Hallelujah. How can we be not joyful and exuberant after coming off of almost a week of revival? Amen. Can't forget what the evangelist Chase said. Where does revival begin? It begins with us. You draw a circle and you stand in it, and that's where revival begins. Amen. Let's continue to worship our Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Put your hands together. Jesus, I think we need to start over. Hallelujah. That's what God does for us. Amen. He lets us start over. Thank you, Jesus.
Triumph, our God has overcome. For
How can you not be joyful this morning after all these this week? Amen. I tell you what, I was at work and I couldn't wait to work into so I can get here at night and I could just be refreshed by the Holy Spirit. God did some beautiful and amazing things, but you know what? That wasn't the end. He wants to continue to revive us and move and pour out a fresh spirit in our hearts. So if you have a need this morning and you still want to seek, come up to the altar and say, God, I know you ain't done with me. I want more. I want more. I haven't had enough. How can we not want more? Amen. God has been so good to us. And as we sing this next hymn, The Love of God, oh, I love this hymn so much. It ministers to me in such a special way because I know when I was deep and down in the darkest points of my life, I felt that love pick me up. I felt that love just sweep me off my feet and say, you know what? It don't matter what you did. It don't matter what you thought. I love you, and my love for you doesn't cease. Amen? So if you have a need this morning, come up to the altar and be refreshed and just ask him. Ask of him, and he will meet your need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's hard not to get excited when you think about Jesus and his goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. He's been so good to us. So good. Thank you, Lord.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. Saints and angels song.
This morning. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord.
Amen. Oh, I'm going to ask you to be seated this morning. We're going to ask the ushers to come on out, and we're going to get ready to take communion today. And I just want to encourage you a moment to take some time just to reflect on your life for a moment. Such a great promise that we can come to, as a believer, we come to the table of the Lord.
Amen.
But all believers are welcome at the table. Now, what gets you to the table is salvation, that you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Paul gave the instructions to the church, and he says, when you come, I want you to do this in the right way, in a worthy manner. He said, there is a wrong way to do it. And as they pass out the elements this morning, I just want to explain to you to do it the right way. And I'll tell you, it's real simple. Paul said, when you come, you examine yourself. Okay? He said, if you don't, you will drink judgment upon yourself. Meaning this, there's power in the blood of Jesus. And if you take it for granted, it'll have a repercussion to it. Amen? He said, but if you would do it in a worthy manner, let every man examine himself, then he would not be judged. Meaning when you sit at the table of the Lord, man, you can lay it all out there and say, God, here I am. All that's good with me and all that's bad with me, I'm just going to throw it out there. And he said, when you do that, there's power in the blood and there's power in the body. Because the blood is for the remission of sin. Meaning whatever you came in here with, you'll be washed clean. Now, let me say this to help somebody. People may not always look at you as clean, but God will. Why? Because he sees you through the blood. And he said, the bread represents my body, which was broken for you. By his stripes you were healed. Okay? So we can receive the body of Christ. So I just want you to take a few moments and examine your life. Thank you. Bible says that as Jesus was sitting with his disciples, he said the very night he was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Now, I don't believe the disciples really knew what he meant by that. I mean, he was for the first time teaching them new things. I think we have a way better understanding today of what the body of Christ represents in our life. If you're a believer, and we know the whole story that he was put on the cross, and he was bruised, and he was beaten, and by his stripes we are healed. This represents a lot of promises for people today at this place. Amen? The body of Christ, which was broken for you. Let's receive it. Father, we thank you for this. We receive it. We proclaim it as your body and that you're coming back in Jesus' name. Amen. In the same manner, it says he took the cup and he said, "This cup represents the new covenant in my blood." Everything changed at this Last Supper. He said, "This blood will wash you clean. There will be no more sacrifice. There will be no more animal. There's none of that anymore. My blood is fixing to shed for you." And what does that mean for you today? Well, this is what it means. That if whatever you walk through that door with this morning, whatever mistake you made, whatever mess you made, you sit at this table and you say, I proclaim this to be the blood of Jesus Christ. And you take this and you'll be washed clean. Like I said earlier, I don't know how people might look at you, but I know how God will look at you. He'll say, all I see is the blood of my son Jesus that has washed you clean. What a promise we have this morning to be washed clean again. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this new covenant. We thank you for your blood. We thank you that, God, every man and woman can be clean today. And we receive it and we proclaim it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning and let's continue to worship.
How many of you can raise your hands this morning and say, God has always come through for me? Amen. He comes through at the right time, at the right moment. Never failed you, and he won't. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are a faithful God. You always come through.
Store.
to you, Jesus, the source of our help. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you.
I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord.
Jesus, you are our help.
I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord.
Lift your eyes up to the heavens. Shout of praise this morning.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Why don't you just take a seat real quick? Oh, I just want to encourage you and tell you that the Lord wants to help you today. Amen. And I mean that. And I think you're going to hear from the Word this morning that hopefully may find yourself in the moment of a crisis in your life. Anybody ever been in a crisis before? I'm not talking about flat tire on the side of the road crisis. I'm talking about crisis moment. If something don't change, the windows are going to break out of here or something, type of crisis. And I want to tell you that God puts you in a crisis for a reason. And he will develop something in you and through you in the middle of it. And we have a tendency to run and hide in a crisis, but God has a plan for you. So I'm going to definitely encourage you with the word this morning. And I just want to welcome you to Life Point Church today and thank you all that served and came out this week. Did you have a good experience this past week here? I mean, if you were able to come, maybe you could only come once or twice or whatever. But that's why we went four nights, because we wanted to make sure everybody had a chance. And some of us were able to make it every night in it was just a great time, one that I really believe we're going to look back real soon and say that was just a pivotal moment in the life of this church, where spiritually God began to do things in people's lives and take us on a journey. But by no way is that going to define us or say that was the only, we're going to try to get back to what happened this week. No, because we're moving forward. And I know if God showed up last week, he'll show up today, and he'll show up next week, and we'll continue on glory to glory for what God's doing. Amen. So thank you all that served and came out. I'm going to share one quick announcement with you, then we'll take up the offer, and I'll share the rest of this stuff, because most of you probably know by now that Debbie Persaud passed away, went home to be with the Lord on Thursday. God called her home. She, for those of you who know, I think she was a member here for a long time, and she had suffered for a long time with illness and things, but she's in glory today. Resting with Jesus, and I know she is, and there is going to be some celebration of life that her family's going to do, and they wanted me to make sure that Life Point Church knew about it. They wanted you to be a part of it and make it out if you can, because she did love this church, and I know that. But tonight at 5 o'clock at, let's see here, Forest Lawn Funeral Home, that's at 2401 Southwest 64th Avenue, Fort Lauderdale. I'm pretty sure if you've ever ridden across 595, there's a cemetery with a big pyramid in it over there. That's it, okay? That's the place right there. 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, there is a viewing and a celebration service tonight. I mean, it's really cool. They're going to celebrate her life starting tonight at the viewing. And then tomorrow at 9 a.m. at the same place is the celebration of life service at 9. And then following that immediately here is a fellowship with family and friends and just a time to be together. That's probably going to take place about 11:30 or 12. I would ask you, though, if you could, if you're able, if you could be here with John and a couple of people are going to be serving and helping, just serving the family, you know, just a time we can serve them, some greeters at the door. If you're able to do that about 11, we'd love to have you here. Just come right up after the service if you're going, and let's serve that family well. Amen. But just wanted to make you aware of that. And now let's go ahead and just take up the offering, and then I'll give you some more announcements in a moment. Amen. God's been good, right? Faithful in every area of our life. Amen. Lord, we do come back to you at this moment and just in a time to prepare our hearts to give unto you. And we just want to say thank you, Lord, for taking care of us along the journey, providing in times we didn't even know how we were going to get there. God, you showed up. And I believe you still will for someone today. Lord, bless this offering today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning. A few other things that are going on around here. I want to talk about two things in particular. One is Easter Sunday. Now, Easter is late this year, I think. It's like way in the end of April and kind of hits a little later. But we have a vision this Easter, and I want everybody to hear it, and I want you to be a part of it. If you were here during the Halloween festival we had on the Harvest Festival, we had Halloween night when we invited the community to come out for a time of just a festive fun, had some giveaways, we preached the message that night, and just really a great time. We're actually going to do that again the night before Easter, okay? Now, just so you know, I'm not big into like doing Easter egg hunts and all that stuff. I'm not against it. That's just really not my thing. But with Patricia and the outreach team, they're actually going to have a live resurrection that night. And so we're just going to tell people what Easter is. It's the moment Jesus came alive. Amen? And I think the world needs to hear the truth. Amen? And but anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have some prizes and giveaways. And I'm saying all this to say I want you to be a part of it. Okay, how do I be a part of it? Well, one way is come to the meeting on March the 12th. Tuesday night, that's at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock on Tuesday night. The 12th at 7. How about that? 7 o'clock. And there's a spot for you to serve. I mean, we're expecting a few hundred people out here that day, and we're going to serve hot dogs and give away prizes and tell the story of Easter and just all kind of cool stuff. So if you want to be a part of that, we want you to be a part of it. Tuesday, March the 12th at 7 p.m., you can be here for that. Please. Also, I want to remind you that this month, next weekend, the Russians are coming. Ready yourself. If you would have said that back in the 80s, people would have been nervous. I know, but it's a different time. So, but I mean, I talked to Pastor Ilya this week, and him and his wife are super excited to be here with us. They're flying from Moscow into Miami on Friday, and we have someone that's hosting them, and it's just really cool. And I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. I'm gonna share briefly with you real quick the story of how they just planted the church in Russia. And I'm talking about a nation that is closed, okay, closed to everything. You know, there's not a lot of people that there are foreigners that come into Russia. There's definitely not a lot of religion that takes place there. And these people have paid the price. When I say paid the price, we don't even have the cost in America like they have in Russia. If that makes sense to you. We wouldn't be expected to pay that kind of price here. The amount of times they've been arrested and thrown in jail for just having a service. type thing. So it's going to be a real encouraging Sunday for us. You're going to get to hear a different perspective, great people. You're going to fall in love with them. And just so you know, I mentioned this to you, this was going to be our missions project for the year. This was going to be the thing that we took on as a church and said, we want to partner with this missions organization, and this year we want to support it. Basically, for some of you, you'll know this, they're also head of the Russian Teen Challenge, okay? It's really crazy. How many of you are familiar with Teen Challenge a little bit in this church? You should be. The nation of Russia is closed to the Christian church, but they're open to Teen Challenge. God don't need a building and a cross to get into a nation, I'm just telling you. And so what's happened is that because the gospel has been preached to the addicts and the alcoholics and they've been set free, that's working as a cure for addiction in Russia. Okay? So they're like, yeah, bring Teen Challenge. That's cool. We don't want the church, but we'll take Teen Challenge. Okay, whatever. And so basically now a lot of the Christian churches in that area, they have a Teen Challenge with them. And that's basically what Ilya and his wife have. And they have men's home, women's home. And I mentioned to you that the women's homes there, the way the country's set up is if a woman goes into this program and she has children, she has to take her children with her. There's no programs to put their kids in. There's no foster system. That's just orphanages. And you lose your kid, you lose them. So, but they're in the process of renovating part of their women's facility into a home for children. And they've asked us to partner with them. And so we're sending the team. I think it's the first week of June. Am I right, Miss Susan? First week of June, I think it is. The team's going. There's about 10 people going over. And then what I said was I would love for this church to step up and cover the cost of the project itself. Now, everybody going on the trip is raising their money to go on the trip and all that. And we can do some fundraising for the cost. But it's about a $10,000 project. And I said I was going to throw it out to the church. How many of you believe we could raise $10,000 to put Life Point Church, you know, put our name above this place over there? And really and truly, I don't care if they put our name on it or not, just so you know, it's not about that, but just to do our part. And so next week we'll be taking up an offering and probably some faith pledges of what you believe we might could do this year for that. Amen? I told you, I said it'd be real cool if we raised enough money to pay their salary. You know how cool that'd be? I mean, I'm a dreamer. I think big like that. And I said, man, what if we could just tell Ilya and Janet, hey, guess what? Not only are we going to do this room for you, but we're going to cover your salary this year. They don't get paid at their church. I'm telling you, this is the kind of church. They live in the basement, and they just do the gospel. You know what I'm saying? They do have some support from the Canadian Assemblies of God and some things. They'll tell you all about it. But I want to be a support. Amen? And so they'll be with us next week. I'm looking forward to it. Make it a priority. If just shake their hands and welcome them into here, into the United States here, and welcome them into Life Point Church and show them a little love. Amen. Y'all ready? Oh yeah. I'm excited about today's message. It's we're going to be in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, a story you should know. This story was part of one of my series messages on prayer, and I actually have done a lot of study on this thing over the years for different reasons, but the reason I like this story and God brought me back to it is because this is one of those stories in the gospel that just changes everything, you know. And I'm going to tell you, if for believers and for us, you know, and church, if you've been in church over a period of time, you get programmed as to how things should go. Anyway, I'll be the first to tell you, you know, we come in, we sit down, we shake hands, we sing, we pray, we talk, and it's like this routine begins to happen. And, you know, Jesus sometimes did things differently. Amen? And let me ask you this, have you ever had God show up in a way in your life that was totally unexpected? Well, let me ask you another question. Have you ever had God not show up in your life when you thought he might? Tell the truth. How many of you are waiting on God to show up for something in your life right now? Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why. Because God has his way of doing things, and they're not your ways, and they're not my ways. And sometimes we, even myself probably, have been guilty of preaching that a certain way that you can expect something to happen when it may not be that way. But I'm going to talk to you today about being in a crisis in your life. I mentioned it earlier. And how many of you could say I'm in a crisis right now? Maybe I need to help you define what a crisis is. I said it's not a flat tire, okay? is not molded bread at the house. It's not the kind of thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of crisis that says if something don't change, we're in big trouble. If God doesn't show up, we're in big trouble. Not only for you, but it may be somebody in your family. Because a crisis doesn't affect you. A crisis will affect everybody around you. Are you with me this morning? Matthew chapter 15. Here it is. He got it. Verse number 22. I'm just going to read part of it. It says, "Behold, a Canaanite woman came out from those borders and cried." A Canaanite woman came out from these borders and cried. And this morning I'm going to talk about crossing your border. Crossing the border in your life. And if there's one thing I'll tell you, a crisis has a purpose. A hard time and a crisis has a purpose in your life, and its design is to change you, not to overtake you. Its design is to change you and draw you close to God and to see that God has a process and a journey that He wants to take you on to change you. How many of you can say this right now? There are some things in my life I wish would change. Or how many of you say this? There's some people in my life I wish they would change, but I'm good. I know how it is. But this is a story of a woman, and you'll remember because she came out as a Canaanite. Mark calls her a Syrophoenician woman, and she was in this region, and she came to meet Jesus. And it was the woman that when she got to him, he kind of ignored her a little bit, and he takes her on this journey. But the interesting thing about the story is no matter how hard she tried or how bad things were in her life, Jesus never comes to her. And I think it's important that you understand that. Jesus never came to this woman. He never came and showed up for her. He had seen her. She had been crying. She had been through some things. She had a situation that was getting out of control. And the Bible says that she had to come out from her own borders. Now, there's a lot of talk in this nation right now about borders. Now, I'm not going to talk about it because it doesn't matter in this place what we talk about. But, you know, and we are almost a nation that has different views on this border situation, are we not? I mean, it's a big deal, right? Now, I will say this, when you're talking about bordering a nation, most of the politicians you hear that their purpose for this border is to keep people out. Right? That's what the thing is. But in reality, a border serves two purposes. It keeps people out, but it keeps people in. Run to the border and see if you try to get out what happens. I mean, it is designed to do that. And not only in the sense of a nation, but let's talk about our personal lives for a moment. The borders that we build in our life that we can't get out of. Has anybody ever been in jail before? First service, like 19 people stood up and clapped when I said that. I think they just got out of jail. I was like, wow, dang, it's a serious group in here. But I mean, you know, there's some borders. That's the only thing I can liken it to is if you've ever been in jail, there's borders everywhere. You don't go anywhere. The thing is people build borders in their life. And the borders are very dangerous. One of the borders we can have in our life is called religion. Religion says we do something, we serve God the same way, we worship the same way, we do everything the same all the time, and we never change anything. And when you do that and that becomes your mindset, anytime something different happens, we think, oh my gosh, this is not from God. Because we don't do it that way. Fear is a huge border for people. Fear is a huge border for people today, even believers. They've been through things in their life. They're afraid of this, afraid of that, whatever. Fear, sickness is a border. Your attitude is a border. I doubt this applies to anybody, but I'll say it. Your mouth is a border. It's only a couple people, probably. And I want to challenge you this morning to say that what God brings into your life is not always designed to harm you and hurt you. What does He say in Jeremiah? I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And God sees you and He sees everything in your life and He says, I know how to get you where I want you to be. And it's not just a destination of where you go, but rather it's a destination of what you become. Who's with me this morning? God wants you to be a man and woman of character and faith and praise and worship. He wants you to be a man and woman of great faith, okay? But you'll see that in this story. You don't receive the title of great faith by having all your prayers answered when you scream them out of your mouth. Amen? How many of you like to hear the sermons about immediately Jesus touching someone or claiming it out of your mouth? And all that stuff that we say and do. But I'm talking to real people that have struggled with the Lord, that have come through process to understand that God does not always work the same way in people's lives. And somebody this morning is in the middle of something, and here's what I'm going to tell you. God is on the verge of delivering you, but it's time for you to step out. It's time for you to step out of where you are and what you're holding on to, and it's time for you to go after Jesus. Okay? See, there was an old saying, you know, an old preaching long, long ways back that you just sit and wait on the Lord. If this woman had waited on the Lord, she would have lost her child. How many parents do I have in here today? How many of you ever had a child in trouble? Yeah. I'm going to take you back when I was in my 20s. It's a little ways back now. I didn't live in Florida. I don't even think I knew the Lord at this time, but I was coaching Little League Baseball, me and this other guy. And there was this, you ever heard of a snot-nosed brat? Does anybody know what that is? There was a whole team full of these people on my team. And this kid struck out, and he was like the worst kid on the team. And he went down looking. Do you know what that means? It means he didn't even swing the bat, and he struck out. And so he went down looking, he was all upset. The umpire called him out, and he took his bat and he slung it up against the bat cage. And he starts hollering out of his mouth, and man, I came running out of that dugout. I was going to grab him by his arm. And as soon as I grabbed him, guess who started hollering? His mama. She was sitting right behind me. I wasn't even thinking about it. And boy, his mama went nuts in front of everybody, and this whole thing plays out, right? I'm glad they didn't have cell phones back then, because somebody would have sent that to News Channel 9 probably. But I was going after the kid to tell him, look, man, you don't have to act like that. You know, I mean, I wasn't going to smack the kid around or anything like that. But boy, his mom went into protection mode real fast. Any mamas out here know what I'm talking about? You want to see some crazy mamas, go to Little League Baseball. You'll see some stuff. But this is a story about a mom right here. This is a story about a mom that had a crisis in her home. And she said, this thing has gotten so bad that I've got to do something. Listen to me. Somebody needs to hear this. It's time for you to do something. God's not going to come show up with a magic wand and knock on your door and just all of a sudden fix this thing. Now, I know you've been taught that and preached that, and yes, it does happen, but I'm telling you, some of you are going to have to move your feet and do something. This woman is there, and she's had enough. The crisis is so big that she can't hold it in the house anymore. How many of you were ever raised by people or live in a home now where you kind of like to stay tight-chested with your stuff? I think there's a lot of wisdom in that, but you just say, you know, you don't have to tell everybody. You know, you have to keep your kids quiet when you go out because they'll tell the truth about what happens behind your closed doors. And you'll be like, don't say that. And, you know, you just don't want all the things out. And you want everybody to think it's all good, you know. But the reality is we're humans. And finally, the crisis, and this is how you know you've reached a crisis point, the neighbors are talking, okay? And people are starting to notice that something's wrong. People are starting to notice that something's wrong, and I believe that's what happened to this woman. And finally, she had enough, and she said, I've got to get to Jesus. There will be things in your life that only Jesus can fix. I know we're spirit-filled, and I know we have the power, but I'm telling you, there will be moments in your life where you have to go to Jesus only. And usually, crisis send you to Jesus. Send you to Jesus. What does that look like today? Well, today it may look like you have to get up in the middle of a church service where everybody's prim and proper looking good, and you lay down on the floor and say, I can't take it no more. And half the people look at you and say, oh, whoa, what's wrong with them? And the other half say, I've been there before, brother. I'm with you. But this woman says, I've got to get to Jesus. And you know, the teaching would have sounded like this. Well, all you got to do is get to him and he'll fix everything in your life. You ever heard that said before? And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from her borders and cried, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. Okay, now, you'll remember this story. This was part of my series of a prayer life. So if you see it in your notes, it was the prayer life of the prayer that always moved God. You remember this? Was what? Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That moved God every time. See, a crisis does this. A crisis puts you in a prayer mode of this. Help me, Lord. You don't know what to pray for in a crisis, right? You ever been in a real moment? You say, I don't know, Lord, should you just take them on home now or leave them here and fix them? Or should I leave? Should I stay? Should I run? Should I blow this place up and start over? What is it? Help me, Lord. That is a crisis prayer. Just help me, Lord. Now, remember, she was a Canaanite woman. She was a Canaanite woman. Jesus was a Jewish man, and his disciples were Jewish. Now, he was in a region where there were a lot of Gentiles in this story. Mark's version calls her the Syrophoenician woman, letting you know real clear that she was not Jewish. Everybody needed to know she was not of his kind. Well, guess what? She was going to change that. You hear what I'm saying? Somebody thinks Jesus is not for you. Listen to me this morning. He is for you. You just need to get up and go find him. You need to come running to him. You have been taught bad theology to think you're going to sit there in your mess and he's just going to come over to you and fix you like that. How many of you have waited before for God just to show up and things got worse? Now, don't misunderstand me. God can show up in a crisis and touch it and miraculously change it. All I'm trying to tell you this morning is don't put God in a box. And if you wonder how he really works, read the word. It'll tell you. She goes to him. Now, she comes up the region of Tyre and Sidon. She's walking north along the coast, maybe running, I don't know. And the Mark's version says that Jesus comes into the home. He wants to be alone. You ever wanted to be left alone before? How many of you want to be left alone a lot? Some of you? Well, Jesus needed that. You know, he was human too. He had the fully human, fully God thing. But he just was like, man, he had fed the 5,000. He just walked on the water. That was that right after that. And he says, I'm going to this place to just chill for a minute. That's how I felt Thursday after the revival services. And then, but somebody needed something. So here he is in this house, and this woman comes up to him. Okay. Now, I want to tell you, and I'm going to see if he can pull it up real quick. In Mark's, I think it's Mark chapter 7, verse 25. Mark chapter 7, verse 25. And if you study this at home sometimes, read the two stories because they're the same story, just told a little bit different. Yeah, this is it. It says, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and what? Fell at his feet. We'll go back to Matthew's version. I want you to remember that. She came and fell at his feet. I mean, this is crazy. This whole story is just a weird one. But she had a crisis in her life, and she takes off running up this coast. And the only thing the Bible says is she's heard about him. She's heard about him. Now, I know enough to know this. She didn't see it on the internet, and she didn't see it on television. And Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with the fish and loaves. So there was this miracle that people were talking about. And finally, I think she was at the place where she said, I got to get to this man named Jesus. I've had enough. And here's the thing I'll tell you about trying to help somebody. Until they've had enough, you can't help them. You hear what I'm saying? I'll repeat it. Until they've had enough, you can't really help them. How many of you have ever been in a place in your life where you said, I've had enough? You know, we've all been there. That's usually how we came to salvation. But she says, okay, so behold, the Canaanite woman comes from the borders, cries, says, have mercy on me, O Lord. Now, this is real interesting because there's no reason why a Gentile would have called Jewish Jesus Lord. That wouldn't have happened. So if for what she heard about him was enough for her to say, I got to get to this man. Which tells me even what she heard was a seed deep enough in her to change her mind. Because listen to what she said. She said, oh, Lord. I mean, she could have come to here and said, excuse me, sir, are you Jesus? Are you this Jesus I've heard about? No. She says, Lord. So something supernatural happened inside of her when she heard about him. And she comes and says, Lord. Then she says, Son of David. Well, why would she call him the Son of David? I'll tell you why she called him, because she wanted him to know that she knew who he was. Son of David, a Gentile would have never called out his Jewish lineage to him. But she does. She says, I know who you are, Lord, and the Son of David. You're Jew Jesus, right here. All right? Now, the next part says, she tells him what's wrong. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. I mean, I got five kids. I might know what she's talking about. I don't know. You ever wondered, parents out there? Anybody ever wondered? You're like, maybe this is the same thing that happened there. I don't know. It's been close, right? But, I mean, you know, this demon possession thing was no joke. And she was fed up, and she couldn't take it anymore. It was wrecking the house. And so she goes and calls him out for who he is, and she tells him her problem. You ever done that before? Have you ever done that before? Gone to Jesus with your problem. How many of you do it 19 times a week? But what happens next, I'm telling you, will rock theology around the world and will probably rock your thinking as we walk through it today. Because it says, he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Now, how many of you are married? Happily. Man, y'all got two people raise their hands. There's like 19, 20 married people in here. Now, your spouse says something to you, and you don't answer them back. What happens? Dentist visit maybe for some of you? I don't know. Man, there's nothing worse than being ignored by somebody, you know? I mean, my kids do it to me all the time. But I'm talking about adults here. I'm talking about the King of the universe. I'm talking about Master, Lord, Savior. Jesus walks up to this woman and says, this is what's happening to me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy. And he don't answer. What do you do when he doesn't answer you? What do you do when he doesn't answer you? Now, the church is full of celebration and songs about him showing up and touching and moving right away. But let me ask you the question. What do you do when he don't show up? And if you don't think he don't, then you don't understand the word of God and you don't believe it. That's between you and him. I'm telling you the story. And the thing is, it's not that he doesn't show up. The real answer is this. It's that he don't do it the way you want it done. Uh-oh. That's why her prayer was this, have mercy. Just have mercy. So he answered her, not a word. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you are in a situation right now and you ain't heard nothing yet? You don't have to raise your hand, but if that's for you, this word's for you today. Okay? Because you'll see by the end of this story when Jesus takes this woman on this journey that he had a title for her. He had a title for her, and it's only found twice in the Gospels. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. Okay? That was a lie, because she didn't say nothing about the disciples, just so you know. She wasn't there to see them. And I don't blame her. I wouldn't want to see him either. Because at this point, the disciples were really powerless people. Now, we know that God used them and turned their ministries into great things. But at this point, they didn't know. They didn't know what they were doing. And so they say to Jesus, can you just get rid of her? Can you just get this woman that's screaming and crying? Can you just get her out of here? We came here to be alone. We don't want to be messed with right now. Now, you know, I would have thought Jesus would have made this an opportunity to say, you know, I'm going to teach you here a minute, disciples. I'm going to show you that this woman came to me in a moment of crisis, and I'm going to show you what faith looks like, and I'm going to touch her right now. But then Jesus replied to her and said, I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She was a Gentile. Just so you know, Gentiles and Israelis were not, and Jews, they were not together. It was different people. Jesus said, I'm not even for you. Can you imagine the humiliation this woman is feeling right now? And there may be, listen to me, just let me stretch your thinking for a minute. There may be a time when you go through a season of your life where you feel like Jesus is not even for me right now. Nothing's happened. I'm still sick. I'm still upset. I'm still broke. Nothing's changed. Am I talking to anybody this morning? He says, where is he? And he said, I was not even here for you. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to make it, and I'm so excited about next week because I know you're going to hear a story of two people that have had to push through some stuff. And some people sitting in this room have had to push through some stuff. And if you're breathing, you're still going to have to push through some stuff in your life. You never get there. That's just my observation. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't give up. Whatever you got fighting against you right now, don't give up. Because God is more than able. And even though he hasn't answered you yet the way you think he needs to, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. It said, but when he answered and said, I mean, so great, he's finally going to say something. The giver of life, rise and walk, all the stuff he says to people, he looks at her and says, I'm not for you. We're not the same kind. Man, how humiliating would this be? Could you imagine this woman standing there in front of all the disciples and Jesus himself saying, I'm not for you? In verse 25. I mean, this is it right here. And this is, I think, the make or break moment for where you might be in your life. Some women I know would have said, okay, fine, be that way, out. Right? I mean, some women in the first service would have said something else. But, I mean, they would have checked out. And let me tell you, we check out. That's what we do. We check out because we say this, I'm not going to be treated that way. If you don't give me what I want, I'm not going to serve you. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to come here and worship when you don't give me what I want. You didn't move on my behalf. But look what she did. The Bible says, when he said, I wasn't for you, she came and... Now, let me just say this. You can study this if you want to. But when she worshiped him, you'll never read in the Gospels up until this point that any of the disciples ever did this. They were with him, but they didn't do this. They didn't get neglected and humiliated and fall down at his feet and cry and say, Lord. Look what she said. She called him Lord again. Lord, help me, as she worshiped him. Listen to me, the enemy wants you to lose your worship. I said this about a month ago. He wants you to lose your song. He wants you to quit singing. He wants you to turn your back just because God hasn't shown up the way you thought he should. Now, let me ask this question again. How many of you have been going through something and God did not show up the way you wanted him to? There's three of us now. Okay, good, we're getting there. That's everybody in this room, I know that. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. God's not trying to give you what you want. He's trying to create you into what he wants you to become. There's a huge difference. And if you just serve God because what he gives you, you're not serving God. You're serving Santa Claus or whatever that guy's name is. She began to worship. Now, I don't know who this is for right now. I don't know who this is for. But God hasn't moved on your behalf. Quit asking and start singing. Start worshiping. Start worshiping him. Listen, if there was ever a moment with it where somebody was proven to say, I'm going after you for who you are. He had already rejected her. And he said, I'm just going to worship you. And then she says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. How many of you have ever been in that prayer mode before? I'm going to say it again, where you don't even know what to pray for. Like, you know, I pray, I hit the lottery. Maybe that'll change my life. I don't know. You know what? What is that? No, I say, Lord, help me. Because I don't even know what to do next. I mean, this thing is such a mess. I don't know if I should keep, for some people, it's like, I don't even know, should we quit going to see whoever and just let this thing play out? And see? I mean, you know, this is that moment she was in her life, and she was there for her child. Now, this might be for somebody in here this morning. Your kid. You got some demonic, vexed kids. Don't give up. She worshiped him and said, Lord, help me in front of all these men on her serve. God's going to move on your behalf now. After she said it, in verse 26, it gets a little worse. He said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. What? I mean, this is a story. You read it and it'll mess your theology up for a moment. Where's that Jesus I was taught about that all you got to do is speak it and it'll happen? Well, I know way too many families that walk through stuff and they're speaking and screaming and Jesus ain't moving like they think he should. But he's got a purpose and he's got a plan. So listen to me. I'm going to say it again. Don't give up. Now he says, let me back up and read this to you. It's not good to take the children's bread. This was an attack on who she was. She was a Gentile. He was for the children of Israel. He said, it's not good for me to take from the children. I mean, this is a blow right here. And throw it to the dog. I mean, you're a dog, woman. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. It's not good. You know, it's not good for me to do that. That's not good. But you got to understand now, I'm going to take you a little step deeper. This is the moment that Jesus changed theology for everyone. This is the moment, I believe, that he opened the doors for Jews, Gentiles, men, women, anything under the sun. He said, I'm for all of humanity. But he had to take someone on a journey to make something happen. And somebody sitting in here this morning and you're wondering, why does it take so long and why is this thing like it is? I'm telling you, because he has you on a journey for a purpose. And it's probably not even all about you. As much as you want to think it is, it's probably for somebody else. Are you willing to be used by him? Or when he says no, are you going to check out and walk away? That's the real question you got to ask yourself. And this is where we get confused. He says to her, when she first confronted him, he didn't say nothing. Remember that old thing? My kid did that to me once. You know what I'm saying? One time. Then they wrote with their left hand for a little while. No, I'm kidding. Thought about it though. You all know what you think at home when it's like somebody does something like that. So it's like, that's what he does to this woman, and she has a choice to make. And you have a choice to make, too. Every time he does or doesn't do what you want, you have a choice to make. She said, I'm going to press in a little bit. And here's, if there's one thing the church needs, listen to me, truthfully. If there's one thing the church needs today, it's people that know how to press in a little bit. Not just get upset when things don't go the way we want and walk away crying and mad and all that. You got to press in a little bit. Some of you have been through some tough stuff in your life and you've got a little more press than you think you do. So she presses in a little bit. And the disciples say, can you just get rid of her? And then he says, my bread. Then, you know, she's keeping on. And he tells her, he said, I'm not for your kind. I'm not for your kind. And see, that's what the enemy wants you to think, that God isn't for you. I'm here to tell you, he's for you 100%. But what he's trying to develop in you is far greater than what you can see outside of you. She's at a moment. I want to read you something real fast. James 1:2-4. James 1:2-4. This is the story of this woman. You're going to read it twice. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Just back up a minute. Back up. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How many of you are in a trial today? Stand and shout now. Hold on, that's what it says. Don't sing when he shows up. Sing when you're in the trial. And the church has lost its song in the trial. I know you're going through stuff. I get it. But he said, that's when you start to count it all joy. Why? Because you know the truth. You know that this was not designed to hurt you and destroy you. This was designed to make something out of you. What is it going to make out of us? What's it going to do? Knowing, verse 3. Knowing that the produces patience. Time out. I don't want to read it. Y'all read this too fast. You want to get back to the deliverance part. I know. The testing of your faith. produces patience. You're learning something right now that God's developing in you because of what you're going through. How many of you know that? How many of you are going through something again? How many of you know it's taken a long time and it hurts and there's wounds and there's concerns? I get all that, but I'm telling you, you got to trust the Word of God. He says, I'm developing something in you, and at first it's called patience. Let patience have its perfect work, verse 4, that you may be what? Perfect. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. There are some things that only a crisis will develop in your life. I don't care how loud you sing. I don't care how much you dance. I don't care how much you come here. There are things that only a crisis will develop in your life. And you ask yourself, why am I going through this? I'm telling you, because God's making you perfect. God is developing something in you and your family that nobody can take away. That you may be perfect, complete, not lacking anything is how it ends. Not lacking anything. This woman had a choice. She could have got up and ran out. I mean, here's what we do. You ready? That third time or second time Jesus didn't answer her, we would say this, fine, I'll handle it myself. I'll do this on my own. Boom. You ever ran into a brick wall before with no helmet? A couple of you have. That's why you can't say anything right now. Let me read you one more. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. He says that the genuineness of your faith being more precious than gold. Being more precious than gold. What on this earth is more precious than gold? I mean, really, in the world standard, that's it. Even America, our dollar bill is backed up by what? Gold. That what? Perishes. Though it be tested by what? May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You're going through a fiery trial. Yes, you are. And there's nothing you can do about it except worship. Keep pushing. There's not going to be a Mickey Mouse magic wand that's going to wave over this and it's going to wake up all of a sudden, it's going to be gone. God's going to take you through the fire. And if you don't want the fire, then you don't want God. Some of you are going to have revelation today because you're in the fire and you didn't quite understand why. Why? Do you think this woman felt the fire as she laid on the floor for the third time when she said, Jesus, Lord, please help me? And he said, I don't even come for your kind, woman. Matter of fact, I don't give my bread to a dog. I mean, come on. That's not how you grow a church, friend. Just so you know. Let's flip back over to verse 28. Verse 28. After, but back up to verse 27, I'm sorry. He said, I don't give my bread to the dogs. How many of you have a dog in your house? You know I used to talk about my dog. Anyway, I'm not going there right now. He said, my bread is not for the dog. Most of us would have been long gone before he ever said that. Yeah. She's still there at his feet. According to Mark's account, she just laid at his feet the whole time. She's laying at his feet. He said, my bread's not for the dogs. She looked up at him and said, even the dog eats the crumb from the master's table. And right there, when she made that statement, I believe what happened changed the world of theology, changed religion. It was changed. Jesus was changing everything, just so you know. He didn't do it in one encounter, but many encounters along the way, he began to change religion and the way people viewed things. And this woman, when she made that statement, it clicked. And I believe even as he was standing there, it's not recorded, but I believe even as he was standing there, deep inside of him, he was saying, please don't get up and leave. please don't get up and leave. I have to prove that this faith is real, and this is the only way I have to do it. And he would be saying to you in your trial today, please don't run. Please don't quit. Please don't give up. It's going to come to pass. It's going to be for the glory. It's coming. It's coming. She said, even a dog eats a piece of bread. In other words, she said this to him, she said, I don't need your bread. I just need a crumb. And when she said that, what she really said was this, I know how powerful you are. That's what she said. I know how powerful you are. I know that I don't need the bread. I can just pick up something that you drop on the floor and it'll save me. Just a little bit. Verse 28. The disciples are still standing there. Everybody's watching this thing play out. They're still wishing she'd get up and leave probably. And Jesus looked at that woman and he said, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. I'm going to tell you what, church, you don't get great faith by you don't get great faith by easy stuff. It's the fire of God. It's the fiery trials of God. That's why I say this to people. Be careful how you talk to somebody. Because one thing humanity is good at is covering up the fiery trial. How are you today? I'm good, man. It's all good. You know, you broke the windows at the house and kicked the door down and everything else. It's like, whoa. It's because you're in the middle of that fight. And God knows right where you're at. And I would tell you this today, don't give up. Because he is creating something in you that's so powerful. He told that twice in the, you can study this for yourself, twice in the Gospels does he ever tell somebody they have great faith. Once was this woman, and the other one was the centurion soldier who was a Gentile. Both Gentiles, no Jew. He never said it to his disciples. Then he told her, he said, great is your faith. What just happened? Then he said this to her, let it be as you desire. And at that very hour, her daughter was healed. Man, you know what would have happened if this woman would have turned her back when he said, you're like a dog? I mean, that whole conversation has always been intriguing to me because it's so different. But I think the reality is we find ourselves in this spot more than we find ourselves in the magic moment where God just shows up and changes everything in an instant. Because it's a journey. And he's way more concerned about your faith and what your faith looks like. That he said it's better than pure gold, but it's tested by a fire. How many of you got a fire in your life right now? And you've been wondering, like, why? And it seems like it's getting hotter. Because he loves you, and he's developing something in you. Great faith. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Here's the cool thing about the story. She wasn't even there for herself. She went through all that for somebody else. And I think that played into it too. Some of you may have to go through the fire for somebody else. Welcome to the journey. Amen. That's why I say this morning. You should encourage one another every chance you get. Don't be so hard on everybody. Because everybody's going to go through this fire. But when we come out on the other side, when we come out and your faith has been tested and you've stood strong and you didn't quit, he's going to look at you and say, well done. Well done, that good and faithful servant. Amen. So for whoever this message is for whoever's walking through the fire, don't give up today. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Lord, we come to you this morning and we do offer a praise. God, I just believe there's people in this room. God, they've been in the middle of a trial and they've yet to cross the border. They've yet to come out across the border in a way that says, I am coming in after him 100%, no looking back. Tell you what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to ask our ushers to come up here real quick. And I'm going to invite whoever needs to hear this. You're ready to cross the border. It might be salvation for you. If that's you, that's great. It might not be salvation. It might be this. I've just been sitting in my house waiting on this thing to happen, and I never came out in public and worshiped at his feet saying there was an issue here. Maybe you need to be like this woman, and you just need to go in public and recognize who he is and say, you are Lord, you are Jesus, and you're my Savior. That's where I'm going to start. I'm going to do that myself. Wherever you find yourself this morning, I want you to come forward. If you're in this position, I want you to come forward, and you want to say, I want to recognize Jesus first, that he's Lord of my life. And these men are going to pray for you. And we're going to believe God with you. See, because the fiery trial is not going to take you under. It's going to develop you. And it's going to shape you. Now, the next group of people I'm going to ask if you want to come forward is, you've been in the middle of it, and you've been denied, and you feel like the Lord said no, or you feel like the Lord was against you, but today you received the truth that said he's not against you, he's for you, but he's taking you on a journey. If that's you, I want you to come forward this morning. And I'm going to pray over you, because God's going to strengthen your faith. God's going to strengthen you today through his word. Lord, we do come before you this morning. And Lord, for all of us in this place, we felt like we were this woman at times where we felt like you didn't even hear us, God, and you even might have asked us to leave the room, or we're not even here for this. But God, we know today that the truth is that you are standing right in front of us. But God, you have us in a process to strengthen our faith. And all those times we hurt and those times we felt alone, when it's said and done, you're going to look back and say, great is your faith. Great is your faith. You didn't give up. It was very hard, but you didn't give up. Lord, to you today, we offer you all the honor and glory. And Lord, I pray that today would be the day that someone would receive that crumb from that table. Just receive that crumb from that it would fall from the table today, and someone would reach down there and pick it up. And their needs would be met. Their kids would be delivered. Their family would be set free. Lord, I'm believing you for it today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, church. God bless you today. I'm going to dismiss the service. You're welcome to stay with us if you'd like. I'm going to tell you once again, don't give up. Hold on. God's going to show up. Amen. Have a great week. We have a cell phone that was left in the women's bathroom. So men, don't come for it. But if you're a woman, we'll give it to you.